A very good evening to all the brothers and sisters in the number. Today is the 14th June 2022, our second physical class for this year. So today we also have quite a number for the physical class. I think about 13, 14 of them. Okay, so we were as usual off the line, so that you can have your half an hour of awareness based meditation. Yeah? So just relax body and mind, maintain awareness, silence everything, and stabilize the inner awareness, and let the awareness develop the understanding. The meditation will happen by itself as long as you are aware, heedful. You will develop the understanding. So remember the four support. Relax is the first support. Relax into every mind state that arises. Relax your entire body and mind. Then after that, you silence everything. And the second support is maintain awareness. When you are silent, there is no thinking, no thought process, no verbalization, no chattering, no movement of thought process. So during that time, you can maintain awareness, just the way finish. Then whatever that still arise, let it arise. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. And let the awareness nature settle down. The third support is to maintain this awareness for as long as you can. Technically, it's 24 hours or within your waking moments. So basically, to summarize the first three support, what you need to do is you need to silence your mind completely so that there is no more thinking. Then relax. Then maintain awareness. Then let your thinking mind or mundane mind return to its original state before the thinking start or before the stirring or the reaction. Then you can realize your true mind, which is your silent mind. And this silent mind or the true mind is actually the meditative mind, where this is the one that is just aware within the awareness nature. So the sutta continue by saying, who expounded the proper Dhamma, good at its beginning, good in the middle, and good at the end. His meaning profound and far-reaching, his words clever and subtle, pure and unadulterated, complete with the mark of pure white Brahman conduct. So this one is a direct translation from the Mandarin. Some of the English words are not so appropriate, but I think it's okay. We can still develop the understanding. So the Dhamma as expounded by the Buddha is usually praised by many. And it is often mentioned that this proper Dhamma which has been expounded is always good, even at the very beginning, good in the middle, and good towards the end. And its meaning is always profound and have very far reaching implication. There is words. The word clever should not be there. His words are subtle but profound. Pure and they put their hand adulterated. Means it speaks the truth. Complete with the mark of pure white Brahmin conduct. I think the Brahmins are the well-respected people or cultivator at that time, or the Buddha. So they often refer to the pure white Brahmin conduct. And the next section is, to those who sought to be sound hearer in the sainthood way, he responds with the Dhamma of the Four Noble Truths, by which one crosses over birth, old age, sickness and death to realize ultimate Nibbana. And for those who sought for particular Buddha, he responded with the Dhamma of the 12 links of 12 conditioned causes. For the sake of the Bodhisattva, he responded with the 6 perfection of parameters, causing them to attain Anuttara Samyat Sambhogi and realize the wisdom of all modes. Okay, now we go to the commentaries. What is meant by expound? It means to speak or proclaim in an unfixed manner. When expounding, one must have spirit and express the spirit of the doctrine, the essential point of the Dhamma. So here, I think we should develop better understanding. What is being mentioned here, maybe the English translation, the English word are not so appropriate. So the first sentence here, it means to expound means to speak in an unfixed manner. Actually, this is very crude. It's not unfixed manner. What he's trying to explain is when the Buddha or the Dhamma teacher or master who has the Dhamma, when they expounded the Dhamma, they don't have fixed pattern, understand? They don't like memorize or from the text, they try to share or try to teach. So here, it means there is no rigidity in the way they approach the Dhamma. When they expound based on causes and conditions that arise. Then that teaching, they come direct from the Buddha's spiritual nature. Means direct straight from the heart, from that nature. That true nature, the awareness nature within. Because that one, the perfection is already there. The understanding is already there. And that one, which is connected to the form and mind, will allow the form and mind to expound the Dhamma. That's why it's called the Dhammakaya, the Dhamma body that proclaim the Dhamma. Okay, so hopefully with this explanation, it's easier for you all to develop understanding. That's why if you were to go through again, you will understand. To expound means to speak in a, they use the word unfixed manner, not so proper and very crude. And when expounding, one must have the spirit. Here, also the translation is not so accurate. Here, must have the spirit doesn't mean that you have a spirit inside you. No. You must have the spiritual penetration, the spiritual knowledge or understanding. And it must have the ability to express the spiritual understanding or the spirit of the doctrine. So the spiritual understanding come from their perfection, their cultivation. Then the essential point of the Dhamma is they are very clear as far as the Dhamma is concerned. That's why they can explain it to you in a very clear-cut manner. And based on your ability to comprehend, then they use this word, there is nothing fixed about the way. Again, that's why here you don't have the proper understanding. The translation would normally end up like that. There is nothing fixed about the way. It's this way, or the Dhamma, cultivation, proclamation, or explanation. There is no rigid pattern in the sanam. So there is no like something that is already fixed, already rigidly planned, or following a script, or following something. When it comes to Dhamma, it is something that is very, very natural. Natural in the sense that it echo and flow with the condition there and there. So I read again, there is nothing fixed about the way it is done. You should expound the Dhamma in accord with people you are speaking to. This is very true. You must accord and flow based on the people and the condition around. You expound or proclaim the Dhamma. To those of an elevated nature, you speak of the principle of that nature. That is, talk about the principle of the self nature or the true nature, saying, this self nature is present within everyone. But people are unable to realize the self nature. Yeah. So here, Zhenhua, they all use the translation as a self nature. It's actually not the self nature. 自性, 本性, 自性, 佛性, the true nature within, the original nature. And this one is present in every living being. Every living being has this true nature within. But people are unable to understand this true nature, which is very true. To those who are intelligent, speaks about the principle of the true nature. So this one, if you have the ability to comprehend, then the cultivator will talk to you based on your appropriate level of understanding about this self nature or true nature. Then to average people who should speak logically, speak of worldly Dhamma, even science and philosophy. Now, this is very true. You are normal people who don't have spiritual understanding. You don't go and make life difficult for them. You have to slowly, slowly approach them in a manner where they can relate to. Then if they find your sharing interesting, then they will be interested in what you have to say and they will listen to it attentively. So these are, they call average people or normal people. Then, of course, there's another category. To the most stupid people, you should speak about causes and effects, as this is most appropriate for those without much wisdom. Therefore, in expounding the proper Dhamma, there is no rigidity. Means you are not rigid. So, proclaiming the Dhamma, teaching the Dhamma is not easy, not what normal people think. In fact, this one, unless you go through the cultivation, you have gone through the understanding, then you come out and share, you will never understand what this is. Because I remember in the early day, my mind already is so deep and transformed. I can't memorize things. I can't like try to remember things. Maybe I will sometimes write down certain things as short title that I need to talk on, because the mind, the mundane mind or the memory has transformed. It has become pure aggregate. It cannot cling, it cannot hold, it cannot grasp. So if I try to remember, I can feel the brain is exerting itself, no point. Forcing yourself to remember is no point. But that is not the way. In the past, we like to learn things by remembering, by committing to memory, especially when we are young, we are going through our education in the school. A lot of the exam or the test that the teacher said, they need memory power. They need you to remember. And not so much about understanding. That's why at that time, most people, in fact, had to use memory, commit to memory, because if they don't have the memory, they cannot remember what this thing is. Then I realized later on, to learn is not to memorize. There's no use. You memorize, it's become like knowledge. It's not understanding. That's why I prefer to develop understanding. Then when I can understand, I realize I no need to remember. From the understanding, the moment I see that subject or what, I will understand. I will know how to explain. Yeah. So all this, if you have gone through life, you have gone through the education system, you have gone through the spiritual cultivation, you will understand. The spiritual field is very different from the technical or knowledge field. Because when it comes to spiritual cultivation, it's not about the thought process. The thought process is mainly for knowledge. That's why we call it the thought-based approach. Thought-based approach is also useful for certain aspects in life. When you need to learn things, technical things, or mathematical things, or scientific things. This one you need knowledge. You need thought. You need memory. But when it comes to wisdom, which the spiritual field demands, then you cannot use thought. Because what we are trying to realize is something that is completely beyond thought, beyond mind. The Dhamma is akaliko, timeless, beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond the psychological thinking. So when you understand this, then you realize you have to start with the silent mind, the awareness, the true nature, the awareness nature, the silent mind, or the meditative mind, which is your inner awareness. So once you develop this understanding and approach it with that understanding, then the spiritual cultivation starts to develop or take off. Otherwise, it's very pitiful. A lot of people didn't have this understanding. They wasted a lot of time by developing thought-based method, technique, and cultivation. So if you develop cultivation through thought, you end up with Dhamma knowledge. It's very difficult for you to develop the insight, the awakening, the wisdom via the direct seeing, via the silent mind, the awareness nature within. So this aspect, hopefully, with today's sharing, you can develop better understanding. Okay, we go back to the notes. Then we move on. There are four methods to be applied in the art of expounding the Dhamma. The first is called opening, that is, introducing a certain doctrine to people or topic to people. The second is called closing. This means that you must bring to a conclusion the topic you have introduced. If you just open it and don't close it, then you have a beginning but no end. If you just close it but didn't open it, then you have an end but not a beginning. So this is Shen Huang's version. But just opening and closing is still not enough. You must turn it, like the Buddha turned the Four Noble Truths, the three turnings. Keep on talking, talking, until everyone is wrapped with attention. And then you turn off into another direction. Perhaps people are not paying close attention. They find your speech flat and dull, and they are dozing off. So you use a skillful means. Perhaps tell a story or share something interesting or humorous to get their attention. Finally, you intercept That is, you again return to the main point. So when you lecture, you should have an opening, closing, turning, and intercepting. So this is Sun Hua's version. It depends on your understanding. Finally, those who have the Dhamma, they will know how to explain to you. Then they will know how to approach the thing. They are very clear in their understanding. So when it comes to expounding the Dhamma, there is no fixed pattern. There is no rigidity, nothing. Depending on the condition, the situation, and the people involved. The Dhamma just flows. Then the topic that is being shared is normally that topic that is relevant at that time or what people want to understand. Then sometimes it's very strange. Sometimes it's non-human, the higher beings. They want to learn certain Dhamma and they know the speaker or the spiritual teacher is very good and can expound those topic. So they will condition their audience to ask certain questions. That's what my nature realized. Then when I realized that this is happening, I will share the teaching in the way that they can understand. And because these people, they are quite advanced in their cultivation. They are Dhamma protectors and they have listened to a lot of beautiful Dhamma, even during the time of Sakyamuni, I would say. Okay, I'll read on. The voice should have four qualities. This one is again Shen Hua's version. The first is to speak in a low voice. Actually, no fixed pattern. For example, one disciple speak with this technique very softly. If you didn't pay close attention, you wouldn't even hear him. So you pay attention. But if one pays attention like that for so long, one gets tired. The mind will wander off and the sentence will drip off. And after a while, one will just quiet listening. At that time, you should raise your voice and speak louder. When people hear that you have raised your voice, they figure there is an argument taking place, and so they don't want to listen. Then you should stop suddenly. You quit speaking, and when you hear nothing, they will pay attention again. When you have regained their attention, you can continue speaking. This one is Shen Hua's version, so don't worry. If you really know how to use your voice, then even if people don't want to listen to you, they will have no choice. These principles are involved in expounding the Dhamma. So here, maybe I want to add something else, which my nature come to realize. You see, when it comes to expounding the Dhamma, especially to a big crowd, a big audience, unless they all have the Dhamma roots and the interest, the Sadda and the Virya, and are really interested, then they will pay attention. That one is no problem. But there are cases or incidents where you go to a general audience, then this audience are not all interested in the Dhamma. They are like normal people, public and all those things. Then maybe once a week, Buddhist or what, where there is a Sunday session or what, they will attend. Where there is a Dhamma talk, they will attend. So this one, when you speak and proclaim the Dhamma, even if you have the Dhamma, you are very good or what, not everybody can understand you or appreciate you. And what I realized was those who cannot understand, they were like feel sleepy, those of them, they just walk away or they leave. But those who can understand, they will be like attentive, glue. Then they like to listen. Then after that, they ask a lot of questions. So these are the other aspects of audience that I think Master Xuanhua didn't mention. So hopefully with this, you can develop better understanding. Okay, we go on. You really know how to use your voice. Then even if people don't want to listen to you, they will have no choice. The principles are involved in expounding the Dhamma. This one may be for those who are trained to be eloquent in the way they speak. They draw attention and all those things, especially politicians or some eloquent speaker. Yeah. But when it comes to Dhamma, the intent is different. The intent is to share. And that intent to share is very important. Not everybody can understand and grasp what you share. So for true cultivator of the way, they will know. If there is no condition to share, they will not share. Yeah. Or they will just start share, then after a while, they will cut short it. They will just say, it's okay. Yeah. Then sometimes they can even discuss general topic. Yeah. General topic can be more interesting to them. Yeah. And these are not spiritually inclined cultivators. So you cannot always want to speak Dhamma and talk Dhamma to people. You cannot be too keen to condition or influence people into learning about this so-called Buddhist teaching. You have to develop the understanding to accord and flow. Yeah. As you cultivate, as you go through the sharing and the training, you will come to understand. Then you evolve and become better. Okay, we continue. Now the Buddha expounded the proper Dhamma, good at its beginning, good in the middle, and good at its end. What is meant by good at its beginning? From the time Sakyamuni Buddha first produced the Bodhihara until the time he left home is called the beginning. Good at its beginning. After he left home, he cultivated all manner of bitter practices. Actually, it's austerity, austere practices, not bitter, austere. And this is good in the middle. After becoming the Buddha, he spoke the Dhamma for 49 years in over 300 Dhamma assemblies until the time came when he entered Nirvana or Parinirvana. And this is called good at its end. So this is another version of what Master Xuanhua explained about the Dhamma being good at the beginning, good in the middle, and good at the end. You could also say that good at the beginning refers to a time when Sakyamuni Buddha was a common person, just like you and me, and all living beings. He brought forth the Bodhihara, sorted the way to the realization of Buddhahood, then left the home life, cultivated, and practiced the Buddha Dhamma. This is called good in the middle. After studying and cultivating the Buddha Dhamma, he walked the path of the Bodhisattva, benefiting living beings, giving up his body, heart, and life, his head, eyes, brain, and marrow, his kingdom, cities, wife, and children in order to benefit living beings. The three great Asankhya Kappas or aeons during which he cultivated the Bodhisattva way could be considered as good in its middle. When in this present life he became enlightened and realized Buddhahood, that is good at its end. You could also say that the first Asankhya Kappas of cultivation of merits and virtue is good at its beginning. The second Asankhya Kappas of cultivation of merits and virtue is good in the middle. In its middle. Then the third Asankhya Kappas of cultivation of merits and virtue is good at its end. So good in its beginning good in its middle and good in its end. No matter how you explain, it's okay. So it's up to the individual. So just bear in mind this is Xuanhua's version and approach. Yeah? Its meaning profound and far-reaching. So the commentary. In expounding the proper Dhamma, good at its beginning, good in the middle, and good at the end, all that took place can be related to the roots and traces. What is meant by root? Root Dhamma refers to the Buddha as he first put forth the result. What is meant by traces? The traces are the various modes of practice which he appeared to undertake, the Dhamma Dhamma which he cultivated. His experience was extremely profound and far-reaching. The Buddha, as he expounds the proper Dhamma, speaks of the past, present, and future. Use words which were clever, actually should be profound and subtle. When the Buddha spoke the Dhamma, his expression was ingenious. Again, clever. actually profound. Means the Dhamma he spoke was exactly appropriate for those who have been taught. Subtle means that it expresses a subtle, wonderful, inconceivable state of meaning. Pure and unadulterated. The Dhamma he spoke was pure, singular. No other Dhamma Dao were mixed in with it. What Dhamma was it? I will tell you. It was the white Brahma. Oh, sorry, it was the sudden Dhamma. The perfect sudden Dhamma. Complete with marks of pure white Brahmin conduct. Complete means there is neither too little nor too much. Pure means pure, clear and pure. White refers to bright light. What are sound here? You have been listening to Sutta for so long. Do you know what they are? They are one of the two vehicles. The sound hearer and the Pachika Buddha. The sound hearer become enlightened through the cultivation of the Four Noble Truths. They hear the Buddha's sound and awaken to the way. And so they are called sound hearers. So in Mahayana, in Mandarin, they call Senwen. They listen to the proclamation of the Dhamma. Then they awaken. So these are the sainthood way. Yeah? The Sotapanna, the Sakadagami, Anagami, and the Arahats. They are from the small vehicle. The small vehicle is the beginning level of the study of Buddha Dhamma. They are also called the storehouse teaching. From the storehouse teaching, studying more deeply, one gradually progresses through the Vaipuya and the Prajna teaching, returning from the small towards the great. Entering the great vehicle Dhamma Dao. So the sound hearer cultivate the Dhamma of the Four Noble Truths, means suffering, origin of suffering, extinction, and the path that lead to its extinction. Khu chi mie tao. So in Pali it's called Dukkha Samudaya, then Magga and Pala. The Four Noble Truths was the first Dhamma which the Buddha taught. He taught it to the five ascetics, who upon hearing this Dhamma Dao became enlightened. That is why they are called sound hearers. They hear the sound of the Buddha's voice and awaken to the way, by which one crosses over birth, old age, sickness and death. They have been delivered from the suffering of birth, old age, sickness and death. They have separated from birth and death, and the birth and death, to the ultimate nirvana. They obtain the ultimate nirvana without residue, it is said. They have done what they have to do. The Brahmin conduct has been established. They undergo no further becoming, means no more rebirth. They have already done the work they were supposed to do, and succeed in their cultivation of the pure Brahmin conduct. They don't have to undergo birth and death again. That is the sound hearer or the sainthood. Okay. The 12 condition causes, also known as the 12 links or paticca samuppada, they are one, avijja condition. Here they put action. Actually, avijja paccaya sankara, condition, mental activity or sankara activity. Then sankara activity, condition, consciousness, vijnana. Then vijnana, paccaya namarup, paccaya salayatana, the six sense basis. Then dependent on salayatana, you have contact, pasa. Then dependent on contact, you have feeling. Feeling condition, craving. Craving condition, grasping. Grasping condition, becoming. Then you take birth and you become that thing. And then the manifestation of birth is you are born into that thing. Yeah. Then with birth come old age, sickness and death. Ignorance and activity are the limbs which are able to lead for because they draw out the following condition. Consciousness, name and form, six sense organ, contact and feeling are the limbs which lead for. Craving, grasping and becoming are the limbs which are able to produce. Birth, old age, sickness and death are the limbs which are produced. So this is another way of explaining it, not important. The 12 condition causes can be put together with the Four Noble Truths as follows. The first seven of the dwelling, the limbs which are able to lead form, and the limbs which are led form, belong to the truth of suffering. The following five limbs, the limbs which are able to produce, and the limbs which are produced, belong to the truth of origination, the extinction of ignorance and so forth, up to the extinction of old age, sickness and death is the truth of extinction. In the contemplation of the 12 condition cause, one uses a kind of wisdom, and this wisdom belongs to the truth of the way. Here, I think the way Shenhua described it, I think is following the text. But the actual paticca samuppada, the dwelling, you must meditate with mindfulness, with awareness, to see all this happening within your form and mind. Then only you can understand what the Buddha is trying to tell you. Otherwise, you can't. Because when I was doing the cultivation in the early years, I realized all the explanations that were given at that time was very funny. Especially the one on the three lifespan one. I say, straight away my nature no, cannot be. If this is what the Buddha teach, then it has no meaning. It doesn't really benefit anybody. It will not actually give rise to any wisdom or understanding. No point. That's why finally I continue to reflect, contemplate and develop my own cultivation. I already knew it is not what the way is described by people, because I know it's moment to moment, instantaneous. And I know the link sometimes doesn't finish. It can break off halfway. Then it depends on which sense basis is more strong to draw. Then it will cut short. Then it will move on to other sense basis. Then the paticca samuppada or the dwelling, they are all dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. You have to be very mindful and fully aware to see all this. Then you realize the Dhamma that is being taught is knowledge. It's not the real thing. The real thing, a lot of other things happen. That's why even the moment of contact, it's not just that contact, that conditioned feeling. In fact, the first link, avijja paccaya sankara, there is already contact, ignorant contact, dependent on ignorant. Sankara activity arises. Why? Because when you don't understand, when you have delusion and ignorance, you want to know. What do? You will go and think, isn't it? To think is to make contact with the brain. But the brain is memory. Respond to memory, the thought process and all those things. So you go and think. And when you think, you make contact with the brain, the memory. And what is the brain? The brain is an organ responsible for thought consciousness. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, dependent on ignorance, there is thinking or sankhara activity happening. And there is contact. And because of avijja, is ignorant contact. So ignorant contact will condition more than one thing. They will condition the consciousness to arise first. But within split second, because of their ignorance, the content of consciousness go in. So the third and the fourth link is very fast. Avijja paccaya sankhara, straight away it conditioned the vijnana, the pure consciousness. Then the content of consciousness went in. Vijnana paccaya namarupa. Namarupa is the five aggregate, mental, the thought, where the content of consciousness go in. Before the content go in, is just the pure receptacle, which is the pure consciousness without the content. Yeah. So that one moves very fast. And dependent on the arising of this thought process, there must be sense bases, otherwise they cannot arise. That's why salaya tana come to be. Yeah. Then only the whole thing moves. Yeah. But at the first falling, a lot of things happen at the brain level. The memory. That's why you don't have the mindfulness and the awareness to see, to be aware, you cannot understand the paticca samuppada, the dwelling or condition arising, dependent originating. Then when you see very clearly all the link, then you realize all of nature has that universal characteristic. They are of that nature. They arise and they pass away. Because mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is she. When mind arises, the paticca samuppada arises. So avijja paccaya sankhara, very, very common, very, most people, before they have the understanding and the cultivation, they think a lot is because of avijja paccaya sankhara. So when you are not enlightened, when you don't have the wisdom and the understanding born of Dhamma cultivation, this avijja paccaya sankhara always functioning. That's why you become heedless, you think a lot, and you cannot be peaceful. The spiritual faculties are not there. So because of avijja, you create sankhara. Sankhara create the consciousness and its content, which is namarupa. And then from there, you get into trouble already. The whole thing continue to speak. And then they don't understand how that thing come about. They use Dhamma knowledge to try to be smart and tell you, cut at feeling. Because feeling condition craving, they don't want to have craving. So they ask you to cut at feeling. How can you do all those funny things? Who cut? The thought want to cut. How can the thought cut? Without wisdom, it will continue. Well, this is paticca samuppada. It's only with wisdom, then feeling become pure feeling. No need to cut. Because when the feeling is pure feeling, there is no craving. That's why it sees the link. Then when it's non-grasping, means it's a free mind. That's why it's non-grasping. The Buddha, in the final summary of the First Noble Truth, he said, in short, it is these five grasping aggregate, upadana khandas, that I call dukkha. So if it's not grasping, means it's a free mind, the aggregate are non-grasping, then there is no suffering, no dukkha. That's how you should develop the understanding. Not try to do this, do that, but the doing is by the thought. The cutting is also by the thought. Without wisdom, how can you cut? you are surprising. Try not to get angry. Surprising. Try not to have fear, worry, anxiety. Who is trying? The thought is trying, surprising, controlling. That's why it's delusion, thought-based. Not until you see through the direct seeing, the awareness, nature, the sati, the mindfulness within, how all this condition you into negativity, triggering off the ego roots, the mental hindrance, leading to suffering. Not until you see clearly and awaken, you will never understand. You can never even fathom what is going on. So in order to liberate, the mind must awaken. That's why it must insight into phenomena, awaken to the three universal characteristics, then realize clearly that all the while, it was just this avijja, ignorance. Or the more intense one is the self-delusion, sakkhadiddhi, the egoic mind, ni-wo-siang, that mark of a self, mark of others, mark of existence, dhamma, everything, that mark. That's why it's called siang, wu-siang. When you realize and penetrate no mark, you're liberal, you're free. And to do that, you must realize the first hallmark of awakening, which is no thought. If you cannot realize no thought, you cannot be in the state of mindfulness, awareness, leading to samadhi. Without sati and samadhi, you cannot see things as they are. You cannot insight in the flow. You cannot awaken. That's why there is no cultivation. You need to have sati, very stable. Then sati leading to samadhi. Then from there, the direct seeing, the insight, the awakening. Otherwise, you are as if dead, hideous, blind, totally cannot see at all. So cultivation, if you understand, is very simple. If you don't understand, you can be trapped. And you can never come out of it. For eons and eons and eons, you can go through the same thought-based cultivation. It's just being gullible, pitiful. Because sati, the awareness, is not easy to understand. That awareness nature, the true nature, your original nature, which is the oneness nature, that one is difficult to fathom, difficult to even come into contact with or realize. Your mundane mind must cease. You must silence everything and develop the stability of the inner awareness nature. Okay, so we will go back to the sharing and it will mark the page. I think we will stop there. Okay, we are at page 300. So we have marked the page. Okay, now we will open up for second session, which is meditation, reporting, and also followed by whatever question you may have, Q&A. I promise you all the last session that I will elaborate on what Jinhao shared. So for those who have attended the session and also listened to the recording, you would have known Jinhao also went through a phase of great test where he come to realize karmic, you cannot play a fool. Whatever you do to people, it will come back to you. You become the victim. Then like he explained that day, he never expect in his life, to him is very simple and not cunning at all. How come he can end up meeting such a great guy in inverted comma, the corporate group, we call it. And he was so stressed. He experienced so much fear, phobia, sleepless night, until depression, anxiety, and a lot of things. Then like he said, luckily because of the Dhamma. Otherwise, he cannot take it anymore. Yeah. Then asking for forgiveness also helps him. Yeah. And has to do it for very long. It takes him quite a while. With faith, continue to persistently develop the repentance and asking for it. Just like Paulian went through. Because coming obstruction got many stages. Initially, it will give you a lot of calming and repercussion. Means you will experience the calming effect, which is the suffering. And during that time, it can be very intense. Then you don't know what is going on. Everything like not right, upside down. A lot of things you want to do, you cannot do. And you cannot understand. There is a lot of phobia, a lot of fear and all those things. So different people experience it in a different intensity. The manner they go through and all things. It all depends on your past. So for Jin Hao's case, it's more towards the world eating. The world eating. So I told him, whatever you experience because of this corporate group or whatever, because of what you face, it all started after his father passed away and his eldest son, he has to take over responsibility. Then he got to deal with all these people. And this is something that he was not ready to handle because it involved a lot of what they call coming behind that he totally couldn't comprehend or understand until I explained to him and asked him to be patient and to develop all those solutions. Means you have to come to terms with all this reality, accept them for what they are, like Buddha said. You reap what you sow. Do good because you do evil because evil. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. And we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So what we experience is the friction of what we did to other people. We become the victim. So if you know this, then you should tell yourself, this is karma. You have to accept this reality. It did happen. So now, nature's law, law of karma, it hit back. Now you experience it. And you have the Dhamma. You understand to a certain extent that this is karma, Dhamma behind, the coming behind. So what must you do? You do what you have to do. That's why I told him, you need to ask for forgiveness. Ask. You need to repent. You repent. Then vow not to repeat all this from now onward. That's why he become very diligent. Then I say, whatever you do, you have been helping out in Dhamma work, all those things. Then you have also started the cultivation. But do it with understanding. Develop the merits. So then the third one is invoke power of merit for turnaround, for causes and conditions, for you to overcome all this karmic thing amicably. Resolve it amicably. So that in future, you don't have to experience them anymore. You don't have to go through them anymore. And from now onward, you vow not to repeat any of all this negativity through following the advice of the Buddha to keep your present, develop mindfulness, awareness, to cultivate the four right effort, cultivate virtue, wholesomeness, merits, blessing, then meditate to develop the wisdom and the understanding. That's why after doing it for a while, then he started to see, just like he explained that night, the way it come is like everything you would never believe. It just happened like that. Like very chair one hit. Everything like fall into place after the Padita. Somebody recommended this corporate crook, but he didn't know it's corporate crook. The way he talked was very nice, very friendly, just like how he did it to others in the past. Then he get into trouble because he trusted the words and all things, but because of some good karma, luckily the corporate crook didn't get the majority of the share of the company. Otherwise, he's gone completely broke. So he only had to go through the suffering and all those things. So because of that, he developed the ability to resolve all this amicably. Then I say, have faith, work towards it, resolve it amicably. Then the unfolding of causes will lead to what they call the causes and conditions for all these things to reverse itself so that you can come out of it and free yourself. Then recently, I think the light came and something beautiful happened. Then on top of that, which he didn't share, as he was going through this, he also had another big problem, financial problem. That time, actually not because of him, it's because he has failure piety, love for the mother, the sister there. So he bought some property, I think, for the mother and also the sister. Then on his own, he also listened to some friend last time. Yeah, these are like Macau friend. Last time you must have lead people to Holland. Now this type of people tell him, you go and buy the Shaloy in Ipoh, very good. Cannot rent out, got to pay installment. Then on top of that, this Jurassic KL site also installment. Then they got one industrial lot which are giving some rental, but not enough to cover the installment. He add out all the installment minus the rental deficit, 5,000 plus a month. How long can you last? That one make him fearful, full of worry and anxiety. Then I saw his face, he was not himself. That's why I knew. Then I asked him, I said, what happened? Is there something wrong with you? You got problem or what? Why? He's not himself. Not himself. And the fear, the intensity of the fear was so strong. Then finally, he decided to share the problem with me and ask me for solution. I think somebody advised him to come and see me. Also, they heard that I help other people before. So I say, okay, no problem. You tell me what is it. But then he revealed to me, he said, this financial problem, he don't know what to do. Then, of course, the total answer, that business problem also with that corporate group. I say, you solve one by one, the financial one first. So I work out for him a schedule, a table. I just asked him some questions. Then it turned out it was not a problem at all. You know how to resolve it. That one maybe Bank Negara also can advise. Yeah, they got this what they call debt or restructuring. You got a division there. It is something. But that one I think very theoretical. This one more practical, I teach him. I say, how much rental you get from your industrial lot? He said, not much. I think 2,000 or one, I forgot it. Then I say, if you sell the industrial lot, how much money can you get? Wow, that was the solution. The industrial lot seller can get about 1 million. About 1 million. Then I say, your balance of loan for all the other property, how much? Oh, he said enough to cover. Enough to cover. But then I said, sell. He said, cannot get buyer. The agent also told you can. I said, please, can or cannot depend on you. If you don't have the faith and the confidence and keep on listening to the broker or the real estate agent, then you will die. You will never sell a property. You want to sell, go after the agent, follow up, check with him, off and on. He will pay sale. He will do it for you. And I tell you, follow up, you done. Oh, I said, okay. I will advertise for you. Then follow up again. Then finally, he got a buyer. Then he told me the price very low, but still how? I said, forget about the price. You sell all your problem, God. The 5,000 over installment or the deficit, oh God. Yeah, you pay back, no more debt. Understand? Huh? But you lose your industrial lot, you lose your rental. But you got no more debt, no. You straight away relieve, no. Then I say, straight away, he pay the 2%, you lock him in first. Then within 2 weeks or 3 weeks or maximum 4 weeks, sign the S&P, take the 10%. The 10% is 100,000, no, about 100 plus, or 100,000. So 5,000 over a month, 100,000, you got 20 months, right? Almost 20 months, about 18 months. You can sleep well already in the 18 months. No need to worry about not enough money to pay installment. Right? So let the transaction go through. After that, take 3 months or so, never mind. At least you got 18 to 20 month cushion already. Then only you see space and relief. Finally sold. That cut, forego 50,000 to that buyer. They negotiated for it. So it's still a reasonable price. At that time, was not easy to sell, actually. So that one, once resolved, he become better. He recovered still. Then deal with the short law. I say, you patiently resolve it. Then recently, again, good news. A few years back, he has been telling me, I can sell this business. I want to retire. He said, I don't want to continue to be like caught in that karmic thing, and like whole life worry and all those things. He cannot sue, upside down, by the corporate group. That fellow is a lawyer, someone. He know all this corporate law, and he threatened him. And he got to go and see the lawyer, hire the lawyer, see the accountant, and a lot of these things. He said, how come like that? Why is my life become like that? Upside down on you. And said, this is coming. Why other people don't kena? Why you kena? The Buddha already said, it's born of your karma, heir to your karma, continue, and you are what you are because. That's why it resolved. Then recently, suddenly he told me, he said, I think, nice. But he said, don't know yet, not confirmed yet. But at least somebody want to buy it. The uncle is doing up the paperwork, everything. So at least, I think if I'm not wrong, he paid the 2%. I said, sure, guarantee true. If people willing to pay the 2%, you think they let you forfeit? True or not? They were signed. Once they sign, suddenly you say the corporate group also becomes so friendly. Tell the buyer, hey, Jin Hao, trustworthy, good guy. You can trust him. Bye. Personality totally changed when he has a self-interest. Before he has a self-interest, he threatened Jin Hao like anything. Say a lot of those nasty things. That's why I don't play a fool with karma. I tell you, karma, dead serious. Don't play a fool. Don't let it haunt you. When it haunt you, I tell you, you're not only sleepless, you are a lot of fear. Very intense fear and all those problems. So a lot of people has gone through all those things. So I remember last time, was it Hui Ling? I think Hui Ling also went through something. Or someone of the Kaimata, I forgot already. Somebody from the group brought to me also about this financial thing, they want him to practice and all those things. It can be resolved. So you have the Dhamma, have the understanding, all this can be resolved. Apply the Dhamma, follow the Dhamma way, and it will be beautiful. Okay? So this is the part I hope after I share, you all can understand it better. So we should thank Jin Hao for allowing us to have this sharing so that other Kayamitas can develop the understanding and the faith to resolve whatever problem you have or issue in life amicably. Because right view is very important. The Buddha already said, we are all born of karma, heir to karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of God. So whatever happened, there are causes and conditions. And what is it? Definitely your karma. 99.999% is coming, the Buddha said. You are born of it, air to it, conditions are possible, and you are what you are because of the karmic thing. What else can it be? It has to be that one. So, have right view to accept the reality and don't go and lament. Don't go and blame people. Don't go and get angry. Say like what happened to him initially. Full of fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, and very angry. So, why these people do this to me? So the thought keep on rattling all this. And it make you worse. Until he cannot sleep. Insomnia and all this problem. And he almost collapsed. Give up. That time really. No wonder they say you experience all this depression. Suicidal thought keep on coming and haunting you. Because like I used to share with people, what is attachment, what is craving? When you have problem in life, when you have a situation that is unresolved, you will project your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your phobia, your insecurity. Then this thought keep on haunting you and you got no peace. On. Wherever you are not natural, you are not relaxed. You keep on worrying about it. That's why you have fear, worry, anxiety, because you have a problem. The first noble truth reality has hit you. Last time I advised you all one is, whenever you are not peaceful and unhappy, the evil roots are there. And that one is the minor one, the very subtle, not serious one. The serious one, fear, worry, anxiety, insomnia, phobia, everything come on. Then you enter depression one, suicidal thought one. So, these are the realities of life and existence. Everybody who goes through life will experience and have to confront all this reality. It depends on your past, your karmic. If your karmic is such, you will have to confront them and work on it. That's why a lot of Kayamita who have gone through and recovered, they are so beautiful. Even Chupolian, her case is very serious also. All the stages, she luckily cleared. So now she can even chant the invocation to the deva. Last time, the word saman, ta, before the ta come out, she already don't know what happened. Really. Hiding here and there. Attack her like anything. This house, that was many years back. Oh, you cannot take it. Then after that, I say, okay, no need to invoke. Stop. Then just now I heard her can invoke her, she herself chant. So a lot are different. Otherwise, you can't.
It may look simple, is it? When the things ended. But during when you are in the process,
oh.
Tell you what, it really is, it's really not easy.
Yeah,
is it? It's required a lot of like unconditional faith, you
yeah.
know. And especially when you don't see any tunnel, like
yeah,
in the
yeah.
tunnel. And I remember that, you know, I really go through all the ups and downs that even I want to know how to argue, you see, how to
challenge.
You know, challenge during the, you know, EGM or this thing. I engage to my share remiser. The first time I bought share, is it? I asked her, give me the share that they have a lot of problems. You know, the company. You know, they say that, oh, this company is like P18.
PN17.
I say, the meeting, how is the EGM? Is it got pro chair and all these things? I say, I want to attend those meetings. You say, you're serious, lah? This kind of share, you cannot buy one, you buy cana, really.
Yeah, yeah.
But I say, I don't care, I want to know. Yeah, you know, this is how I engage myself, you see, to that extent, to really learn how to, you know. But at the end of the day, these are all useless.
Yeah, doesn't work. Much.
Yeah, the real thing is like, you know, the understanding the true Buddha Dharma. And I'm very lucky, you see, that I encountered the true Buddha Dharma from Bharatiya. And despite all the efforts that I've done, all the things, the other key thing is patience.
Yeah.
It really took me many years, you see. Ah, really, this is, I really don't know what to say, but really, I thank you, Pratio. Really, Mahasadhu, really.
Yeah, let's rejoice.
Sadhu. Yeah, this is beautiful. So those who didn't go through, you may not understand the extent of that suffering within the mental and how it can condition you into negativity. You want to go and find out how to challenge the flow, how to contest, how to like punish him. But no use, because it's like a two for a two. It's not to fight. Why you must fight? You must understand the causes and conditions behind it. Accept this reality, because this is the reality of the First Noble Truth. In the past, you have done to people. Fair or not? Now you are the victim. You cannot say why. When you did to people like this corporate group, why he did ask why? Why he did that to people? Oh, yeah, to him, he didn't suffer. Other people suffer. So he harassed you. He tried his very best to actually take advantage of you and do what they can do towards you. This is what existence and life is. When you don't have the Dhamma, you confront all this without understanding, you will become like drawn into the karmic thing. And when you are drawn into the karmic thing, I tell you, that suffering, that misery, that phobia, that fear, that insecurity, and the anxiety really can make you cuckoo. Suicidal thought and all those things. And these are very, very real and very serious. And to all these people coming to talk to me, I hear directly from them and I can sense their fear, their phobia. You can see. That's why I don't play a fool with karma. Never, never allow karma to haunt you. Okay.
So firstly, I would like to express my gratitude and gratefulness. Firstly, to Brother Eric, who has actually introduced me and brought me to Paratio's class. And secondly, I would like to take the opportunity also to thank Brother Sion and Sister Mifong. Because I attended the Thursday class
in their house.
And at the time when I attended the class, I was in also a very tough a whirlpool of heatlessness. And the worst thing is I didn't even know that.
Most people are like that, especially working career people. They don't know that they are in a whirlpool of heatlessness. Their mind state are really that one nobody can understand until you develop the cultivation. Then now, after you have the cultivation, you can see how people go through. Like even that lady, Jasmine Su, that one got a daughter and he almost go to plank and jump and commit suicide. Finally, he recovered. Then now he saw the sister-in-law and said, "Oh, brother, thank you so much. Otherwise, I would be like my sister-in-law now. Is it like cuckoo, crazy?" Because the husband also want to leave her. A lot of this coming thing, coming in. Yeah, you continue, Colin. Yeah,
so at that time was very tough for me. I think the class that I attended, the Dhamma, has helped me helped me a lot. To bring me back to center. To bring me back to center. And I just want to also thank you, Brother Chin Hao. And after your listening to your sharing, I reflected And I feel you.
Yeah, he can understand what Jin Hao gone through.
Because to one point, I surrender.
Yeah, surrender. I almost break down. Yeah, almost break down. A lot of people told me that. Yeah. A lot of people told me that.
And that was the time that I think Eric asked me, hey, look, I found attendant this class. You got to come.
Yeah, sadhu.
So, in a way, I am experiencing the karma at that time.
Yeah.
But I'm also very lucky. There is a protection or
correct.
From the great being that will still protect me.
Yeah. Until today, yes.
So I really feel you like when you are sharing.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Thank you for your sharing as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
So if I may just share a little bit more.
Can.
I think over the years, what I've learned is the importance of karma, understanding karma. And that helped me actually in my work.
Yes.
My work is in construction.
Yeah.
In construction, we deal with all sorts of
people. Yeah, not easy.
And especially at times like this. Where it's very difficult to sell properties.
Correct.
Our clients are very hostile.
Yeah, very hostile.
They will do all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Just to be able to sit and survive, like corporate.
Yeah.
I won't call them folks, but they are corporate people.
The corporate culture. Like that one. Because, like I used to say, construction site, even PG should know, is like a war zone. You fight war. And the worst is the contractor. You got to fight with everybody. You know why? The contractor go to the site. You got to face the architect, the consultant, and all the other client, and even his own boss. Then, sometimes, like Colvin said, you got to deal with your staff, your worker, and they are not easy. Okay? Without the Dhamma, you cannot deal. And the worst thing is this 2 year pandemic somehow. COVID-19, that's why for Copeland to go through, I really salute you, rejoice. You really did it very, very, and you know how to apply what you have learned. And your mind state change. You know how to meditate, you know how to relax, maintain awareness, silent. Then that calmness, that confidence come back to you. And when you believe in karma, you don't do all those negative things, shortchange people, don't get angry, don't scold me. You realize you resolve things very fast, amicably. And like you yourself share, like you become very lucky. Like a lot of things pull your way, get resolved. Then everything like no longer like last time. Everything also hit the wall and kena kakao. So you can see all this. That's why when you understand the Dhamma, you put for the resolve to go the Dhamma way, then you do things in accordance with the Dhamma, your life change. Then your understanding that change actually help you to transform your character, your personality, your understanding to enable you to resolve all this karmic thing and do your thing with clarity, understanding, and more efficiently. Then without all this karmic thing coming into play, you realize your work, everything flow smoothly. Then things get resolved, not through argument, not through fighting, challenging, but through a noble eightfold path understanding. And all this are beautiful testimony of what you have gone through and actually witnessed. That's why your case was fantastic in the way he helped resolve all those sick projects and turn around until the staff also, they are very happy and they have a lot of gratitude too. Where you lead them and give them faith, confidence, and resolve all this amicably, one by one. So beautiful. Sadhu, Colin.
So currently what we are experiencing is a it's challenging because there's lack of manpower.
Yeah, yeah, now cannot get worker.
And our client cannot sell.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
They need to hand over the vacant possession.
Yeah, yeah.
So they are corporate people. They do all sorts of corporate things. So I explained to my staff, they are behaving like this. They are selfish people.
Yeah,
selfish people will
do selfish things. Correct, yeah.
And they will play us.
Yeah, yeah.
They will blame us.
Yeah, yeah.
And they will squeeze and torture us, ban us. But we need to focus for the benefit of the buyers.
The buyers, yeah.
Do our part, deliver. Yeah, yeah. So initially, there is also anger.
Emotion.
But this round, I don't get carried away. I know there's anger.
Yeah. But you can be
then
aware.
I realize.
You can be aware of it. Then it resolves. Yeah.
And then every morning I sit down. I also would do my chanting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I practice. I ask for
forgiveness.
Forgiveness
and all. Like, that one very useful.
To the bad guy. Who
yeah.
Very
useful.
This one I must have done something to them last time.
Yeah.
I must have done them really gao gao. So I just feel it. I just be with it and I experience it. I have to go through it.
Go
through it. So,
this is good. Yeah, beautiful.
And I ask for forgiveness inside. And I vowed not to
repeat
it.
Sadhu.
And that helped me reflect actually in my earlier years. I was like, oh, I've been such a heedless boy, you know, or heedless man. I must have caused so much misery.
Yeah, misery and suffering.
To other people.
And all this come back to you in the future. So you must be prepared for all this. But you can, through your understanding, ask for forgiveness and resolve it this life. Without having to carry on.
Yeah.
That's why I put there, so that it can be resolved amicably or watered down until it doesn't obstruct you anymore in the future. All this can be resolved. Resolving it is most important. Once you resolve it, the coming repercussion no more. But you don't resolve, you carry on with the hatred and the anger. And the frustration, I tell you, it will come back. It will come back. This is your thought manifesting, and it become coming again. Good, Colin Sadhu.
Also to one point, I reflected. I think I have some point also offended the Triple Gem, which is a very, very. Terrible.
No problem.
So
same,
every morning I wake up and I ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness from Triple Gem and all the beings. And also I repent.
Sadhu.
And I feel this time is very different for me.
Definitely. As your understanding deepens, stabilizes, you become different.
Why I say different right now? Because it's I can sleep, every day.
Yeah, sleep very well. Don't need to worry anymore. Sleep. Yeah.
1 o'clock, 2 o'clock sometimes, 2 days. But now I can sleep. Even though doing such a stressful job.
Yeah, stressful job.
We do our part. We do
correct. Sadhu.
We have nothing to
to
be afraid of.
Correct. Yeah. Sadhu.
So I think to be able to still, I think that is a bliss.
Yeah, that itself is already a very great plus point. It proves that you have developed the Dhamma understanding. Otherwise, you cannot sleep. It will haunt you. This thought keep on coming back on the worry, the fear, the problem. The anxiety, they keep on manifesting. Not until you stabilize your understanding, then through the understanding, you are able to confront it and completely root it out. Without the ability, it will continue to haunt the individual. But the mundane mind is like that. It lashes on to fear, worry, anxiety. Problem, situation, whatever, through memory, you hold on to it. And that is the worst. Normal people don't understand without mindfulness, without awareness. They cannot see and they don't know the Dhamma. They don't know this is coming. They cannot come out of it. No way. They keep on blaming others and blaming themselves. That's self-remorse. Why God so unfair? Why me? They use that four-letter word, shit. And that whole thing. What is going on? And then blame people. That guy introduced me to this job. You have not taken out this job. I will not having this all this problem. No use. The thought keep on pointing finger, but you are not solving it. Fear, no amount of fear, worry, anxiety can help you resolve your problem. It will make you worse. What you need to do is to be at peace first, to accept what happened. That there is a reality. There are causes and conditions behind. And when you can accept, you don't blame, you don't point finger, you don't react, you don't stress yourself, you don't create the unnecessary fear and phobia. What happened? You are at peace. And when you are at peace, then you have clarity. You ask yourself, what happened? How can I move on? How can I resolve all this ambiguity? And then from there, the solution will come. You are not worrying about the problem anymore. You are finding solution to understanding. That's why the clarity of mind is very important. When you are heedless, there is no clarity. We have fear, worry, anxiety. These are mental states that are born of heedlessness. These are mental defilements, or what they call the mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why with this, the mental hindrance, you cannot sleep. You cannot even be peaceful. You cannot even relax, maintain awareness and silence. You cannot. That's why the meditative training, the Dhamma, is the only solution to enable the individual to root out all these problems, suffering. The Buddha called it dukkha. To root out dukkha, you must have Dhamma. You must have this understanding. Otherwise, you can't. When you understand, you will know how to meditate. You will know how to train your mind. You will know how to silence. Then all this will not bother you. Sankara anicchang, sankara dukkang, dhamma anatta. Sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta. So all this dhamma will surface and give you the understanding to liberate your mind and to free your mind. That he know you, he know me. No mark of self, no mark of other, no mark of dhamma, no mark of life existence. No reality. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, phenomenal world of consciousness and form. No reality. Then with that understanding, stabilized, you become like very different. You look at life completely different. The form of mind is not me. Why must I worry about getting sick, getting old and die? Why must I stress myself to do it? I make use of this is the functional body. This is the vehicle and the tool for me to come to this universe, existential world, to live life, to experience life, to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Why am I miserable down here, suffering for nothing? That is really delusion. When you understand, you use it. You don't go and worry about it. You don't go and cling on to it, attach to it, and become miserable over it for nothing. Well, after all, lai ye kong, qi ye kong. There is no reality. Everything is not what you think. He know you, he know me. Yeah. So all this understanding, they will surface. That's why they will prompt you. This is yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience. If a surface, then everything is just the way it is. Suchness, ta-ta-ta. Like my teacher used to share, only mighty nature rolling by. No reality. Mm. Good, Sadhu. Anything else?
Yeah, this I agree with you.
Yeah.
Have to be very diligent.
Yeah, diligent.
But sometimes you will just surface.
Correct, you will surface. Then it will give you the answer to life.
And even at times like this, when we are going through such a difficult time where there is no manpower,
correct?
And we ask for the guidance, protection, and the help. Our help came in the form of the people from the office, all our QS, came to the site to do painting. To do touch up, to do cleaning. Now these are not the foreign workers.
Our own Malaysian staff.
In the office, even the girls also come.
We just do
our best. So it was a lot of help lah. We were unexpected.
That's why all these will manifest. When you have the Dhamma, a lot of straight things manifest. Sometimes you never believe one. Only spiritual people will understand that such thing can happen. Sometimes you just amazed, coming already. Solution is here. That's why your affinity with great beings very important. You seek their blessing, protection, and guidance. Really, the guidance will come. Their protection will come. And they will really bless you by creating the causes and conditions for things to happen, to manifest. And it will happen in the most amazing way that normal people can never comprehend. Sadhu, very good.
That's all from my side.
Yeah, very good. Let us rejoice with a very good sharing. Bible, Colin, and Sadhu.
Yeah, Bratio.
Yeah.
Very glad I'm not working on any project now.
Sadhu.
When I heard what you say, no workers, I totally agree. It's a very bad situation now. Which the government has screwed up the whole thing. So hopefully things will smoothen out to help all the in all sectors actually. The palm oil industry. Plantation sector. Are not taking orders because they have no workers. The price is sky high and we can't even take advantage of it. So sad of it. Just to maybe share about the little incident that I feel may help. I was in this restaurant in Subang Jaya and I bought some things and I bought koi and I left it on the counter and the guy said, you want to pay now? I said, no, I'll pay it together with the food that I'm packing. So while waiting for the food, I was holding these two pack of koi, so tiring that I said, so difficult. I left it on the counter. I told him, I leave it here, I'll pay later. And when I came back to pay, I said, one pack? What happened to the other pack? Then he looked at me, I don't know. Then I said, somebody must have taken it. So when I turned around, I was so annoyed. I was looking, who took my koi? I looked around and I saw this Indian lady eating a pack of koi. And I know it's mine. But like you say, maybe something just triggered in me and I laughed.
Sadhu.
It's like, what's the big deal? Let her enjoy the koi.
You will become different. You will just rejoice. Sadhu.
If it's the old me, I will have confronted her.
Say,
how can you just take a koi like that without asking? But I let it pass. And like I say, when we have the Dharma, we understand that things are what they are. Just accept
the way
it
is.
And we'll be happy and everything just go back to what they are meant to be.
Sadhu, very good.
Thank you.
Let us rejoice one more time. Sadhu. Very good. So now we will end.